This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's been a very busy Monday. If you've missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is very helpful. You can rewind to 2 o'clock. We listened in on Pete Alonso's press conference returning to the New York Mets. We discussed the injuries to Giancarlo Stanton and Frankie Montas. So it's been a busy show. You can always hit that chapter part of the Odyssey app, and it'll tell you what we talked about. It's usually pretty accurate. It wasn't accurate this weekend because I wanted to check in on my guy Tommy Lugauer, and when he was on, the chapters had no information. So we got to clean that up. As a station, we got to get that better. They did a disservice to you, but I did listen, and you did a great job. Tommy wants Matthew Stafford. Did you know that?
Does he?
All you guys do.
You mean we want the best veteran quarterback option for a team that needs a quarterback stunner?
I know.
I know. You make that sound like it's a bad thing.
I know. Well,
just say it. Just admit it.
Go ahead.
You want Matthew Stafford on the Jets. It's okay. This is a safe place.
No,
admit that.
That's not what he wants.
What do you think?
I'm going to play the game of Evan Roberts here. Evan does not want veteran, older quarterback working out for the other team in town when his crashed and burned and failed miserably.
What I love about you guys is that I genuinely have a sports opinion about the New York Giants.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the Jets. It has nothing to do with my selfishness. It just is a genuine, could be wrong, by the way, we'll see, just a genuine sports opinion. And you guys always think there's some other reason. There's no other reason.
It's Evan simply Roberts. No, there's always sports on the surface, but something deep.
In this case, I'm telling you, it's a sports opinion. But we'll talk more about it. We have a few months to get this thing figured out.
Yeah.
But right now, it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. It is President's Day, and about 50 minutes ago, Evan unveiled his top five elections he wished he could have voted in. Unable to vote in.
That's right.
Just go back to 1912 for one of them. So I'm here, Evan, to take a newsroom debate on the air on President's Day.
Go ahead.
The top five presidential head candidates for a WFAN Mount Rushmore.
I totally don't get what you just said.
Right.
A WFA, what?
If WFAN had a Mount Rushmore.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
They're our presidential heads.
Oh, I got
okay?
you. Oh, that's easy.
Here we go.
It's open and shut.
Here we go.
Number five.
So because the Mount Rushmore is four heads, number five is your first head out, if you will. All right?
Yeah, just missed.
Just missed. It's Boomer. Boomer's my first head out. First athlete to, you know, here, hold down two different full-time, awesome morning shows. Just misses for me. He's number five.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
The next four heads are on it. That's my WFA Mount Rushmore.
If you got it right, because to me it's open and shut.
Steve Sommers. He does make it. The Schmooze makes the Mount Rushmore list here. You know why? The more you get away from Steve Beanie, the more you realize, actually ahead of his game with the creativity, the pieces, the monologues.
No doubt.
It wasn't just cookie cutter radio.
Right.
No doubt.
He's got a break room.
Yeah.
That's right. David Stearns did an interview with Pablo Torre about last week, and I listened to it. And David talked how he doesn't listen to the radio station anymore. He says something about Sean Morash ruining the station. I'm just kidding.
He's on Reddit, huh?
I'm just kidding. He just can't listen since, you know, we talk about them and the team. But he grew up, and the only names he mentioned were Mike and the Mad Dog and Steve Summers.
How about that? All right, here we go.
Number three,
I am putting Don Imus on this list. And I understand it and ended horribly, and it is unforgivable what he did.
Controversial.
Very controversial.
Have you ever seen Mount Rushmore?
Very controversial.
I mean, well,
good point.
But it's just the idea for that long to be an anchor, well-known, reputable, at the time, talk show host and hold down the mornings really, I thought, helped this station survive and thrive early on. So, again, I'm not excusing how this ended with Don Imus, but for his contributions prior to that, I am putting him on the Mount Rushmore. Okay, here we go.
Number two.
It's Mad Dog Russo. Look, it's Dog. I mean, everybody who grew up, you were a Dog guy, you were a Mike guy. Dog is on the list at number two.
Number one.
And Big Mike. Francesa does make number one. That's the first head-on for me. Continued after Dog left. Re-came back. Apps that we didn't know existed. The ultimate iconic WFAN figure. That's my Mount Rushmore.
So, to me, it's open and shut. Don Imus is George Washington. The station just doesn't go anywhere without him. It doesn't matter if you liked him, disliked him, or whatever. There's no WFAN without Don Imus. That's pure fact.
Okay,
Mike will tell you that, too.
Okay.
Okay, so he's number one. Mike Francesa, Christopher Russo, no doubt, same thing. The fourth one is where it gets complicated. And John Minko has always gotten it right on what the fourth head is. The fourth head is not a person's head. It's not Steve Summers. It's not Mark Chernoff. It's not my man Joe Beningo.
It's a fan.
It's the New York Mets logo.
What?
Because the Mets coming to WFAN. Again, the other thing that made this station work, this station doesn't go anywhere.
But that's not what this is.
But Minka said that.
I
agree with Minka.
You can say, that's not the argument then. The argument is the Mets are one of the four most important parts of WFAN. Right. That's not what a Mount Rushmore is. You can't put Mr. Mets head on this. Right. You have to pick a person at the station.
If it's got to be a person at the station, and to back up my Mets point, it's Bob Murphy.
All right.
My point to you is, this station doesn't exist without those things.
All right.
If any one of those things doesn't happen, we're not sitting here right now, whether it's Don, Mike, Chris, or the Mets. So you need me to pick a name? It's Bob Murphy.
All right. I'm fine with that. By the way,
Joe Minko agrees with me, and Minko is the official WFAN
historian. But it's not a person.
I just gave you Bob Murphy.
You gave me Bob Murphy. I could live with that. You can't say the Mets. You can't say the Mets. And I would tell Mink to his face, you're wrong, Mink. You got to pick somebody.
If I had to pick a person, then it's clearly Beningo. Sorry. Sorry to Boomer, sorry to Steve. It's Joe B.
Joe B. over
the overnights, man. He took the overnights to another level. He did middays for a million years. My man Joe B., I'm loyal.
I think you're above Joe B. at this point.
I'm not above Joe B. Shut up. I'm not even in the
top 10. How long was Joe B. here?
I think he started in 95-ish, 96. And he's still technically here.
Right.
I mean, he works on Saturdays, so since 96.
I see. I understand.
What? I understand.
Well, first of all,
I'll be loyal to my
first
guy.
Of all,
he understands. It's obvious.
Craig was also your guy. He was part of two shows.
I spoke to Robert Sala last night.
I love Craig. Craig's not on the Mount Rushmore. What am I going to tell you? I love him.
I get it. I understand.
He may not like it, but he's close.
You're finding a way to get yourself in the conversation.
I'm not on it.
By putting Joe in the conversation, it's going to lead to people say, well, how about Evan?
No, not me.
So this is a circumventing way.
No, because it's Joe overnight. It's not Joe midday. It's not Joe working with me. It's Joe in the overnight. I grew up listening to the guy. And he inspired a lot of people. So it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with middays. It's just Joe B's Joe B.
I would say this, knowing Craig the way I know him, he would not put himself on the Mount Rushmore, but he'd put himself ahead of Boomer.
and Joe B.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, there you have it.
All right, thank you, Sean. Cinco de 5-0 every day at 5 o'clock. Let's get to some of your calls, 888-808-1019. A lot been discussed today. Francisco Lindor's captainship, the injuries to the Mets and the Yankees. Pete Alonso is back. Let's go to Jim and Rye. How are you, Jim?
Hey. Listen, I heard the guy call before about Stanton. And he said that he had tennis elbow. So have I. First of all, it's incredibly painful, number one. And it may sound silly, but it's totally debilitating. You can barely hold something. And there is a treatment short of surgery that I had. I'm sure a lot of people have had. It's called PRP, you know, which you guys may be familiar with. It's platelet-rich plasma, where they take blood from your arm. You know, they take it out, they spin it, and then they extract the plasma and they put it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy.
Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Back in. The problem is, it's incredibly painful to administer that, and it takes probably 2 months for it to be effective.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know if the Yankees are talking about doing that with Giancarlo Stanton's multiple tennis elbows, but I don't think there's any doubt this is a concerning injury that Giancarlo's already dealing with.
Well, he also played with it a year ago, at least according to the report. So it's bad, but probably not something that's debilitating to the point where he needs to get an advanced treatment. in order to just be viable, and he's going to be on the shelf for 2 months. It doesn't feel like that, because if that was the case, I am positive this would have been addressed more than right before the start of the season.
Right.
Right. This would have been addressed last offseason, not a month before the regular season.
Unless
starts.
It got better and then got worse again.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. If it's something he dealt with all of last season, clearly they would have monitored it this offseason and had some sort of treatment plan, not just show up in spring training and say, yeah, you know, you're out for a month. This doesn't make sense. This is likely a pain tolerance thing, and he just doesn't want the month of wear and tear to make it worse than it already is.
Mike in Manalapan. How are you today, Mike?
I'm good. I'll throw something in because I didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
I turned 18 in 1980. My first presidential election was Reagan, mm-hmm. and the only one I would have rather voted for or had a chance to would have been Lincoln.
There you go.
Anyway.
Amen.
Back in the 80s, yep. I was captain of my dart team, captain of my bowling team, and captain of my softball team. Do you know how many people cared about that?
Your mother and your father.
No, just me. No, nobody else. Nobody else.
But it's
Do you know that Tony Gwynn was never captain.
Yeah.
Now, nope. I don't believe that you have to be the Triple Crown winner to be the captain. But like even the 80s Mets, 86 Mets, I think Ray Knight was a bigger leader than anybody on that team.
Well, they didn't win after Ray Knight left. Remember, he was gone after the 86 season. And I mentioned this on the Rico when I was talking about Met captains. All the Met captains, Keith Hernandez, Gary Carter, John Franco, David Wright, they were named captains at the end of their tenures. Like, their great success happened before they were captains. Keith in 87, Gary in 88. Well, they won the World Series in 86. They were both off the team by 89.
Yeah.
John Franco in 01, he's off the team by 04. David Wright in 2013, not his fault, had a lot of injuries, but the best of David was before that. So sometimes, at least with the Mets, being a captain's been the kiss of death. Joe is in New Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Big fan.
Appreciate it.
Love the show.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, man. What's up?
I am calling in because I have the answer to fixing the All-Star weekend.
Go ahead.
All right.
I think they should do one versus ones. So you take the center from the East, you take the center from the West, say Anthony Davis versus Carl Anthony Towns. Just throw 4 minutes up on the scoreboard and let them go.
By the way,
and it's one-on-one. You do forwards versus forwards, guards versus guards.
Joe, your idea of having, and I would take it a step further, I would have a tournament. That would be my All-Star week. I would have a one-on-one tournament. Would be awesome. The guys aren't going to do it. Yeah. They're not going to buy in.
Right. So there's a chance to be embarrassed.
Absolutely. It's why stars aren't a part of the dunk contest. If you go back, and you got to fact check me on this one, Teak, in 1999 during the lockout, there was talk of one-on-one basketball. Guys were trying to make money. There was no NBA. And I think Hakeem Olajuwon was involved. I think it was Hakeem versus Shaq. I mean, you double check me on this one, but this was a thing. And I remember thinking, well, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be great. Just like now. And forget about it. Same position. Screw it. Let's have Kevin Durant versus Steph Curry. Whatever. Let's go. It would be amazing, but you got to get a buy-in from players. And I don't think you're ever going to get a buy-in from players because of like what you said, the risk of embarrassment.
And the risk of just hurting yourself.
And the risk of injury.
Because I know it seems like an exhibition, but if it really comes down to it, it's going to get intense.
Dude, it's intense.
Exactly.
It's intense.
I can't see that happening.
No, it'll never happen.
It's an interesting thought, but
we'd watch
it.
We'd watch it. Oh, I mean, to his point, like, there's nothing you can do with the games to make it more interesting. I forget who suggested it. One of the active players, it may have been Damian Lillard, or maybe it was SGA. I'm sorry, one of the active NBA players the other day said, I got a great idea. Let's copy baseball. East versus West, winner gets home court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was one of the very few guys that loved the MLB All-Star game with home field on the line because it worked. I watched it. I was more into it. I admit it. Was it stupid? Sure. But you know what was stupider? Going every other year. To me, that was always stupider. Odd year versus even year? That's really a fair way to determine home field advantage? Right. Give me a freaking break. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, earn it in some capacity.
Right. Now they do earn it, by the way. The format now is better record. So we're in a good place in 2025. But prior to that, it was just simply, oh, it's an even year nationally. Oh, it's an odd year American League. So I liked home field advantage being on the line. You did that in the NBA. I'll tell you right now, I'd watch. I didn't watch last night. I watched a little bit, and I got bored. And the whole idea was confusing and stupid. And then I saw Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving standing next to each other, and I had a stomachache.
Oh, you know what made me laugh?
Threw up.
You know what made me laugh last night? They're doing the introductions, and they introduce Kenny Atkinson. They introduce Kyrie,
KD,
and James Harden. I was like, man, if only you could just hear me out. If only if you could put all three of those guys on the same team, coached by Kenny Atkinson. Think about what could have happened, Ev.
Yeah, I mean, I brought it up. I brought it up already.
No, I just
I admitted I was sick over it. You didn't need to.
I just wanted to. I viewed it as a Knicks fan. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
I got you. No, trust me. I viewed it that way. But that would make it interesting. Now, what happened with this one-on-one contest 25 years ago? Did I remember correctly, Sean?
Yeah, so it was set up. It was sold to pay-per-view. People started to buy money for the pay-per-view. They were all ready to go. Hakeem had to back out last minute doing an injury, a last-minute injury.
And it was Hakeem versus Shaq?
Yes.
And that was it, though.
Yeah.
But what would that have been? I mean, were they just going to dunk on each other?
It was the Taco Bell one-on-one championship. That's what it was sold. They had a sponsor, the whole deal, and people were going to pluck down money like it was wrestling.
If they took 16 of the All-Stars and put them in a bracket and had a one-on-one tournament, it would change the world. Because we'd all be filling out brackets.
Yeah.
We would get into it. And I don't know how great the basketball would be. Obviously, the guys have to try. And I think they would because their individual pride is on the line. But our last caller is right. That is the event that would save All-Star Weekend, and I think we'd be glued to it. And I think the kids would love it because the kids who love basketball, see, old people talking about basketball, they get confused. They think it's all about themselves. They forget that kids love basketball. They consume it differently. They consume it on TikTok. They consume it on Twitter. I was talking to Sweeney Murdy the other day, speaking of FA and Legends, and he was telling me, this was actually a few days ago, I wouldn't say a few days ago, and he was telling me about how his kids love the NBA. And was explaining how it's
his
consumed.
Kids do love the NBA now.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And how they consume it, and they consume it in the way I'm describing. He said, Evan, it's all about the players. He even recently told me, this was recent, I'm going to Nets Warriors. Why do you think he's going to Nets Warriors?
Why?
You think he's going for the chicken fingers at Barclays Center?
Maybe.
Boneless wings.
You think he's going for the... No! His son wants to see Steph! And who could blame him, right? So, I think that would be the greatest idea. I give our caller a lot of credit. It will never happen because they need a buy-in, and we're not going to get a buy-in.
All right, hold on before you go. Have you seen the Kevin Durant tweet about last night?
He said that we should cancel All-Star Weekend since everyone loves hating on the NBA or something.
Yeah, since we're all so miserable around this. He put it on the fans for being miserable.
Mm. The slam dunk competition was actually fun.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Jumped over the actual car. I'll give him that.
He did. He clipped it. He almost like busted his ass.
But it wasn't the hood like Blake.
It wasn't. Yeah, no, Blake went over the hood.
Yeah, that was fake jumping over.
Yeah. But Mac McClung went over the top of the car.
But there was
But he also got a lift from the guy holding the ball.
Yeah, of course he did.
It's like he got a lift over the 7-footer holding the ball when he touched the rim and then dunked it.
It's gimmicky. There's zero competition. I saw Ja tweeting about it on Saturday. Oh, maybe I'll do the dunk contest. Well, why don't you just do it? Stop tweeting about it.
And then Giannis said he'd do it too. And then he says the next day, oh, my kid stole my phone. They tweeted it.
And then you have LeBron 2 years in a row bailing on the game at the last minute. We grew up loving the NBA, but we love this weekend, and it is about the kids. But as kids, we got to watch greatness go against each other and actually try and actually care and actually participate. That's all anybody's saying in response to KD. It's like, bro, get into it.
I'm going to tell you a secret. Let's say everybody tried hard, and it was East versus West. Well, everybody tried. It was like when we were kids. It would still suck.
Yeah.
It's 2025. We see all the players. We're spoiled. Okay. We're older now. I'm telling you, I get it because no one does try. Obviously, I agree with you. But the idea of, well, if magically they did, we'd care so much about East versus West, we would not.
It's a little nuance, but I think all sports should do this. We're into Team USA versus Team Canada. Why? What are they wearing? Team USA jerseys. Wear a freaking Knicks jersey during the All-Star game so I, you know, as a kid, I can go, that's my player. That's some stupid thing that you want to sell to everybody because you have to have
a jersey. As a kid, you also were able to watch some of these games in the 90s at 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's
you're doing a
kids world.
Event at 9 o'clock at night.
Star times are an issue as well.
All the things you said are all true and fair. It's not making it interesting. Like, it's a fallacy. Nothing would make it interesting other than reinventing the entire thing. Like having a one-on-one tournament, but that's not
good. It's just too much injury risk.
You know what? I'm a diehard NBA fan. I needed a freaking vacation. I was good not watching basketball. I watch every Knick game. I watch every Net game. I like the product. I guess I'm one of the few. Do we really? I didn't give a crap about the All-Star game. I need a break, man.
Well, the game is vacation. Well, it's because the game itself is such a shell of the regular game. It almost doesn't even matter. I don't even watch it, but when you talk about the Kevin Hart stand-ups in the middle, what the hell is the point?
That was hilarious.
But I think the skill stuff, that was kind of interesting.
Well, until the Spurs tried to break the rules.
No, it's just, I'm talking about passive. Yeah. Just you can passively watch guys taking 3 points or a dunk contest and not have to be really engaged in it unless you see something really cool. So it's different. But you watch a game and it stinks, you're going to turn it off.
Yeah.
You watch a skill competition, you might see something cool.
Yeah.
No, and if you watch Mac McClung, it was cool.
Yeah. When I started falling out of the All-Star weekend, the first thing I fell out of was the game. The last thing I fell out of was All-Star Saturday night. You know, Chad on the Mets text chat.
Yeah.
He'll be embarrassed to admit this. Me and Chad, about 15 years ago, went to a movie theater to watch All-Star Saturday Night. They put it in a movie theater in 3D.
Wow.
And Chad and I, and we're in our 20s now, like we're actually able to get women at this point. And we're like, let's go to the movie theater and watch All-Star Saturday Night. So we were into it enough. You would have to pay me to do that now. And I don't think it's about the product. I think it's about me. I'm an older person now. I'm 41 years old. Like, I'm past it. I don't need it anymore. I'm watching the crappy Nets and the Knicks every single night. I need a vacation.
I just think the idea of trying to compare Mac McClung to Michael Jordan, Vince Carter, Aaron Gordon, it's just a bad look for the league. It's nothing against Mac.
Can I tell you a secret?
Like, he's a good dunker, but come on, man.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
The dunks today are a lot better than the dunks ever were.
You are so you
true,
bro.
They've done it all, so they
it's your
have
worst
to.
Take,
it's true,
in my
though.
Opinion.
It's one of those things where we talk about the past more glowingly than the reality.
What do you remember from the past that's so profound?
Yeah,
what I remember, and they showed it to the other night. Vince Carter didn't have to jump over Carr. You know why? Because there was power. There was hops.
That's not true.
There was grace.
You know why I didn't have to jump over a car, Tommy? Yeah, didn't have to jump over a car because we had already. Now we've seen everything. So if Mac McClung did Vince Carter or Michael Jordan or Dominique Wilkins' dunks now, we'd be bored by it and say, dance for me. Do something more entertaining.
If Mac McClung did do this against Zion, if he actually cared, or Ja, and Zion dunk like Vince and Mac jumped over Wembanyama, the better dunk would be Zion. It's just it's a dunk. It's about the grace.
Nah, we've seen it all, bro.
We don't need the gimmicks.
We're done. If you could bring back Hall of Famers, like you could make them young again and they could have a dunk contest, we'd all be asleep. We've seen all the dunks, and that's not anybody's fault. It's just we've seen it all, man. And that's why these poor guys have to whip out vehicles to jump over, because we've seen everything.
No, it's because it's a guy in the G League that has to do the gimmicks in order for the dunks to look better.
It's not about that, man. Go pound for pound. Go tonight. I'll give you a homework assignment. You'll never do it. Watch an old dunk contest and ask yourself, if I saw those dunks today, would I be that impressed? No, because you've already seen
it. No, the Vince Carter, even going back to Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine, they absolutely 1,000% hold up. Yes, Kobe, Jordan, those guys.
Don't.
Yes, they do. I think this is one of your worst takes. I'm going to be honest with you.
That's fine.
And I love you. You know that. But I vehemently disagree with you on this
one. I know. You're very passionate.
I just think they hold up.
All right. Agree to disagree. Otherwise, this could go on for an hour.
Put a poll out.
Just yelling at each other. Stuart's in Orlando. Hey, Stuart.
Hey, how are you?
We're good. What's up, man?
Thanks for taking the call. So I want to go back to baseball for a minute, if you don't mind.
Of course.
Yeah. So I'm going to say something you may or may not believe. I have a cousin who I would say is kind of currently today on the Mount Rushmore of baseball reporters. I won't name names, but I was at the World Series Game 4, saw him there, and asked him about Soto. Huge Yankee fan, by the way.
All right, go ahead.
Just disappointed he left, and I asked him, and the one thing he said, we are all obviously money, is he wanted to be the man, and he was never going to be that of the Yankees with Judge. And I really believe that's a strong reason why he went to the Mets. And then just moving on to the captaincy conversation, I have no idea if this is a thing, but optics are part of this as well. So what happened in February 2004 with the Yankees?
In February 2004, they acquired Alex Rodriguez. Today, we celebrate that anniversary.
Exactly. So is it possible that some people knew that this was in the works and needed to make a statement before bringing A-Rod on, just to make sure that everyone knew where everyone stood?
I don't know. Please explain that again. What do you mean? Well, who knew what?
So A-Rod was potentially, there were discussions internally at that point about him joining the Yankees in that next offseason. And by making Jeter a captain, it quelled any potential issues that might have come up in the future. So I don't think it's always about naming the person the captain.
Yeah.
But even with the Mets, look, I loved Soto as a Yankee. I wish he stayed, just to be really clear.
Yeah.
But he, as you guys said earlier, he is not a leader the way that a captain is. And if you name Lindor captain today, does that take some pressure off of Soto having to be that all kind right. of leader?
That's a lot of interesting things you said. First of all, the A-Rod Jeter thing, no, I do not think they saw that coming. Because remember, through most of that offseason, the following year, A-Rod was going to be a Red Sox. The Yankees weren't interested. They made a trade for Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone was going to be their third baseman, and Aaron Boone was involved in the basketball accident. He was playing basketball. He pulled his, what was it, tore his ACL?
Tore his ACL.
Mm-hmm. So,
and Cashman also said he ran into A-Rod that offseason at some award show or something, and he came up to him and said
so, no, I don't think he was named captain at all for the reason of Alex Rodriguez. Now, as far as Soto's concerned, if Soto left the Yankees, or at least one of the reasons he left the Yankees, was because he wanted to be the man, and it's impossible to be the man with Aaron Judge there.
Right, because he wins MVPs.
Would, and he's a homegrown Yankee, and he's, you know, broke the American League home run record, like all those other little things. And Judge is better right now. I mean, I admit that. Aaron Judge is a better all-around player. Would Soto feel threatened by Lindor getting the C? My lean would be no, because I think as good as Lindor is, he's not Soto. Soto's clearly better. In the case of Judge, there was debate. I understood it. But I don't think Soto would feel threatened. Do you, if Lindor became captain?
I don't think so. Because as we've been talking about, what does it really mean? It's not you're better than Juan Soto. It's you are the leader of this team. You are the voice of this team. You have been consistently really good, sometimes great, for the last couple of years. You've earned this. And is Juan Soto, as great as he is as a player, he hasn't done it yet for the Mets. And if it comes to a point where he does become more vocal, does become the voice of the team, is consistently great, then you revisit it.
Right? Yeah.
I don't think it's as big a deal as it's kind of being made out to be.
I'm trying to think, like, Soto's 26. He just signed a 15-year contract. Yeah. He's going to be here until...
Yeah, he's going to be here after Francisco Lindor is no longer playing.
When Lindor came here, he was 28. He was 2 years older than what Soto is now, and he signed a 10-year contract. So when it's all said and done, like long time from now, Juan Soto will, in all likelihood, have had a longer career by a decent amount with the New York Mets than Francisco Lindor has. So when we're talking about him, you know, decades from now, Francisco Lindor will have spent, how many years will he have been here? 10, 11 years, right, assuming 11, he stays?
12.
Right. Soto will be here 15, 16 years, assuming he lives through the life of the contract. Not by he lives, he's going to live through the life of his contract. I mean, he's a Met through the life of his contract. Because you never know, things can change. More of your calls coming up. Plus, why I'm having slight, tiny bit regret or new questions concerning the breakup with Aaron Rodgers. Before we get back to your calls, Sean Morash at the end of Friday's show revealed an exclusive that the New York Post had written by Ryan Dunleavy and Steve Helling on the final hours of Aaron Rodgers as a New York Jet. And it was very interesting. Number one, the idea that Aaron Rodgers was begging to come back. The idea that Aaron Rodgers accepted his fate, quote, like a man going to the gallows. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers, at least if you believe this article and the sourcing of it, seems like he's going to retire. I mean, sending out feelers to Hollywood, kind of getting an idea of what his future holds there, more so in the NFL because he doesn't think he's going to get a great opportunity. So I read the article, and I think Ryan Dunleavy's a fine reporter. I'm not as familiar with Steve Helling. But whenever I read a story, the first thing I think about is, do I trust the reporter? Okay, yes, I do. I think, again, Dunleavy does a fine job. And then B, why was this leaked? Who leaked this out? And to me, that part doesn't make sense because Aaron Rodgers would not leak this out. He would not leak out coming across weak, such as begging for his job.
Right.
So then you ask, why would the Jets leak it out? Well, if the Jets leaked it out, it backfires in my mind because I was always in the middle on the Rodgers debate. Like, I lean towards not bringing him back. I lean towards trusting Aaron Glenn. But I certainly saw the reason why you would want to bring him back. He gives you the best chance to win. And if it's true that Aaron Rodgers was begging for his job, that means, Tiki, in my mind, he was willing to do anything to keep this job.
Yeah.
And say anything and be different and really turn this organization over to Aaron Glenn. And if that's really what happened, I have an important follow-up for Aaron Glenn. Why didn't you want him back?
Right. Who's going to do it better than him?
Especially if he's willing to do everything you want him to do because he's so desperate to quarterback the Jets.
This is why it's so hard anymore to read and believe these anonymous articles that are written about things like this. Like, how the heck do we know what's real and what's not?
You're right, I don't.
I mean, it could be hearsay. So I'm not impugning the integrity of these two reporters, but they could have heard it from someone else. If they didn't hear that directly from Aaron Rodgers, or, yeah, really Aaron Rodgers, because he's the subject here. I don't know if you believe it all.
A part of me doesn't believe it. Because it doesn't sound like Aaron Rodgers, does it?
Right, it sounds like someone within the Jets who was privy to the meeting was like, yeah, Aaron was begging to come back.
Well, I'll say this. If a Jet person in that building leaked it out, it backfired on someone like me. Now, I'm only one person, but my follow-up is, now I want to know from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, why'd you get rid of him? Like, and maybe there's a reason as simple as, and I asked you this at first, I said, hey, Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn certainly know a hell of a lot more football than me.
Yes.
When they watch the tape of Aaron Rodgers, what are they going to think? Now, if their answer is, hey, guys, we watched the tape. We don't believe in him. Fine.
Yeah.
By the way, that's a great answer.
If that's the case, well, they haven't talked about it.
They haven't said anything yet.
They haven't had a chance to be questioned on the Aaron Rodgers situation, their conversation, and ultimately their decision. So eventually they'll be questioned on it. And they may say that.
Maybe.
Because if you look at a lot of the tape from last year, that's what it tells you. He's just not good enough anymore.
I am now very interested as a Jet fan, before I get full closure on the Rodgers breakup, to know some answers now. Like, why? And I'm sure Aaron Rodgers will go on Pat McAfee and give his side of the story, which I assume is not going to follow this. Like, I don't think he's going to say, yeah, I begged him. I really wanted to come back. I assume, and this has been my prediction for a while now, that Rodgers is going to retire. And so I think he's going to say, yeah, it was mutual. It just didn't work out. But it's time to move on. I'm hosting Jeopardy. Actually, his first game show opportunity could come on Wednesday, hosting Ellen Assel when me and Sean Morash have a trivia contest.
Oh.
I love you, Tiki. We'd bump you for Rodgers.
Hey, I would gladly sit back and watch.
That'd be something. So, as a Jet fan who was good with the move of moving on from Aaron Rodgers, I now have new questions that I need answered. Because if he's begging for his job, if he's begging to come back and was that desperate, where he was willing to change like everything about himself, well, then I need to know from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, what say you? What made you say we're done with him?
The only thing that's going to suffice is that he's just not good enough.
Yeah.
And that's, by the way, that's acceptable.
I mean, you could give me cap stuff. You could throw me some cap mumbo jumbo, even though we know that's BS. You could always manipulate it.
You know it's BS because they spread it out, or at least they're planning on spreading it out over two years.
They're spreading it out over 2 years, but if they ran him back, they would be dead money the year after and the year after.
It would be 60-something million as opposed to 49.
It would be a little bit more complicated.
Right.
Let's go to Michael in Stony Brook. Good afternoon, Michael.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All's good. What's up?
Good, man.
Good. Two things on Rodgers. One, I'm glad he's gone. I mean, if it caused him some drama or whatever, he certainly caused enough with us. Think about last year. Before he even took a snap, he was considering running for vice president. He went to Egypt, and the whole thing with Jimmy Kimmel, which was ugly. And then I was telling Lugie, I forgot about the
Jimmy Kimmel thing.
I was telling Lugie, I wish we had something for quarterbacks like we do in baseball, where batting average late and close, like seventh inning on within two runs. Because if you look at the way Rodgers played last year, I know he had decent stats, but he felt like a compiler. I don't remember him controlling a game end-to-end or coming in surging late in the second.
Michael, I agree with that point, and that's why I was very critical of Rodgers throughout the season. But now let's pause for a second. Who is the quarterback in 2025? That's the pivot that's very difficult. Like, you can be really critical, as I was, and I think a lot of Jet fans were, about how he actually played compared to the numbers, but then you've got to decide who your quarterback in 2025 is. And the Jets are in a really tricky spot. Like, Lugie and Sean, or I think it was Lugie, joked earlier about, oh, I want Matthew Stafford. Well, okay, let's have a real conversation about that. I would, but it's not realistic. The Jets are in no position in their cap situation, even if you manipulate it by giving them a new contract, to be able to make that work with a 37-year-old quarterback. So no. I don't entertain it. I don't think about it because I just know it is so unrealistic.
Right.
Now, maybe there's a way to manipulate the cap that even I can't figure out, where it's like, yeah, his cap number is going to be $1.2 million in year one and $2.2 million. I don't know. But considering what they're doing with Rodgers, I just doubt it. Like, I just don't think that's a realistic option. And so, who's your quarterback? Like, this was always going to be the big issue if they moved on from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but it's actually not that big of an issue because of Tyrod Taylor. Yep. He's you have a starting quarterback on your roster.
Come on, though.
I understand what
you're saying. I like Tyrod Taylor. He's never healthy.
I know what you're saying, but they're not desperate. They have a starting quarterback on their roster, and there's clearly going to be other bodies brought in, maybe even other potential stars brought in. But right now, you can't be worried about that.
Yeah, and if we went back in a time machine 3 years ago and said, Evan Roberts, you're going to get Aaron Rodgers, will be a Jet for 2 years, and that third year you're going to have Tyrod Taylor starting, you would have signed for it.
Mm-hmm.
You would have.
I wouldn't have signed for he's not playing in year one, and they're winning five games in year two.
Still a Jet quarterback for 2 years. He's still a Jet quarterback. You knew the risk with injury.
No, I did. But he was a quarterback for 1 year. While he was a Jet for 2 years, he was only the Jet quarterback for 1 year. I mean, they went 5-12. Well, like, you want to talk about all the things we talked about 2 years ago? What would you say if this happened? What would you say if that happened? They went 5-12. Like, it was a disaster. It's one of the biggest disasters in the history of New York sports. Bigger, as we talked about last week, than the net debacle. And I still have that laughing in my face all the time, as Loogie mentioned with the All-Star game the other night. So it's a debacle. It's a disaster. I don't understand your point. That I'd be okay with Tyrod Taylor?
I'm just saying, Evan Roberts 3 years ago would have been okay with that. That's all. And now you see that the time has come. Aaron Rodgers lasted 2 years.
By the way, speaking of Evan Roberts from a long time ago, just to show you I'm fair, we have a loyal listener to the program named Dan who will send me old tweets from all of us as we're talking about it. So earlier, me and Tommy got into a little bit of an argument about the dunk contest. I merely said, hey, I think if you look at the dunks of today, forget who's doing it, they kind of have to do it because the dunks of yesteryear really aren't that good. They don't hold up that well. Mm-hmm. We liked it because it was new to us. So we had a nice argument about it. Could rewind about 15 minutes ago. So I kind of crapped on the NBA dunk contest. Is that fair? Is that basically what I did?
You said that dunk contests like Vince Carter don't hold up today.
Okay. So apparently on February 11th, 2010, mm-hmm. I tweeted old slam dunk contest on NBA Network. Good stuff.
I love it.
So apparently
2010, Evan?
Yeah, 2010. 15 years ago, almost to the day.
15 years ago, you couldn't do anything better than watch NBA TV and old dunk contests.
Can you do me a favor?
Well, think about it. It's the same time of year. What the heck else is going on?
Well, I'm curious. So it was 7:32 at night, and it was February 11th, 2010. I need to see the day of the week. For whatever reason, the day of the week is going to make me feel
better. And for context, you were a single man at this point?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
All right, I have the day of the week. I feel better about things.
Wednesday
night.
All right. Not awful.
Midweek. I'm doing middays.
Well,
did they used to do the dunk contest midweek?
No.
Like old dunk contest.
You were watching it.
I was watching an old
midweek.
One.
I got it.
Yeah. It must the All-Star. Nets must have not been playing. Knicks
Thank
are off.
Thank God it wasn't a Friday or Saturday. Thank God.
That would have been scary.
Yes,
that's why I'm happy. I looked at the calendar and it said Wednesday. I feel better about myself. Nick's in Dobbs Ferry. What's up, Nick? Hello, Nick.
Nick, what's up?
Nick going once. Nick is gone. We will go to Kerry in West Milford. What's up, Kerry?
Hey, I just wanted to chime in about the NBA All-Star game. If they're going to keep it meaningless, at least make it ridiculous, like MTV Rock and Jock. Give me a 50-foot hoop that costs 50 points. Put a 4-point line out there. Make the dunk contest part of it. You do an impressive dunk, they rate you, and that's how many points you get for your team.
That's interesting. Right. Nobody's playing defense, so you can do that.
You know what the problem is? It's all really creative.
I watched the All-Star game, too, or whatever, the celebrity All-Star game.
Yeah.
That was so horrendously bad.
You know the best part about...
So bad.
The best part about the celebrity All-Star game?
What's that?
So I pulled this audio. I'll give Tommy a chance to find it. But basically, Barry Bonds and Jerry Rice were coaching the teams.
Yes.
They had, in my opinion, we're going to play it for you so the audience will get to determine, a very uncomfortable interaction before the game started. And I want to play this for you. Now, I thought it ended okay. So as this is going on, I'm like, holy crap, Barry Bonds and Jerry Rice are going to just beat each other
fight.
Up.
Barry Bonds didn't get off the bench, by the way. He just kind of sat the whole time.
That's how he coaches. He's just very relaxed. Uh-huh. So I want to play for you. This is in front of the crowd in San Francisco, which is why they were both doing it. It's at the Chase Center where the Warriors play. This interaction between Barry Bonds and Jerry Rice. And tell me if you don't think this was getting a little bit too personal.
I'm a hometown boy. We just rented him.
The smack talk.
We borrowed Jerry. He's not from the Bay Area. I'm from the Bay Area. We gonna win.
You got a response to that?
What are you talking about? So how many rings do you have?
Wow.
How many rings do you have?
I have two divorce rings.
Oh, no, he didn't. Okay, that is. On that point, let's get this game going.
Once Barry did the divorce ring thing, I think they were good. But that whole hometown versus ring thing, I it felt real.
I mean, did it?
To me, it did.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I just got a vibe of Jerry Rice was pissed off by the hometown thing.
But why? He's not from the Bay Area.
Basically, think about it this way.
Why is that? I mean, I don't understand. It's a fact. It's not like Barry Bonds is saying anything salacious. He's stating a fact.
Well, it's a fact that Barry Bonds doesn't have any rings either.
Of course.
That's a fact, too.
That's a cheap shot to take at a great player. But Barry Bonds is just saying, you're not from the Bay Area.
I know. It's all factual.
You played within the Bay Area, but Chris, whatever.
I think that.
We're talking about a ridiculously bad celebrity all-star roster. That's what we're talking about.
Is that what we're talking?
Why do you even? If I was Barry Bonds, I would have said, I don't know the hell's winning this game. Y'all all suck.
No, I agree with that. I think that Barry Bonds and Jerry Rice are literally considered two of the greatest at what they do of all time.
No doubt.
Forget the steroids first. I mean, come on. He's one of the greatest baseball players of all time. Jerry is the greatest wide receiver of all time. Isn't that pretty much like widely accepted?
Yes.
And so they're both known as San Francisco icons. Mm-hmm. Like if you go to San Francisco right now and say, who's the biggest icon in your city? It's a very short list, and they're on it.
Yes.
Right?
Both of them.
And I think that was Bonds right away saying, dude, you're not even on my level. Like that's how I took it. And his reasoning was,
I don't think he's saying he's not on his level. I think he's saying, you're not really from here.
Right.
I'm from here, and I was great here.
That was his way of saying he's a bigger icon than him.
Yeah, because it goes back to like childhood.
I know. No, I get it. It just felt, I got a weird vibe from it. But luckily, it all ended okay. It was just a vibe I got. Maybe I'm wrong.
The whole thing was contrived. And it was
think so?
Yeah, producers gave him the line beforehand. What was real was the line about the divorce.
That's
why it was funny. And if you watch the clip, Jerry starts laughing because it was all BS.
And remember this about Jerry Rice. He has become a very funny guy in commercials. He's getting his acting chops.
Is he? What commercials is he doing?
Oh, he does all of the I think it's the Uber Eats.
No, he does the one with Matthew McConaughey. Jerry's eating rice.
Yes. Yes,
and he's
yes.
very fun. My point is he's practiced a lot of acting, Evan.
Okay. All right, I'm a sucker then. What can I tell
because
you?
Because I think they tried to do this all weekend long with Kevin Hart at Center Court and the whole, like, you know, hey, we're going to beat you, we're going to beat that. And maybe people thought it was real. I just thought it was contrived.
Okay. That's a vibe I got when I saw it. Kevin Hart, I think people were pissed off at because they're trying to play a basketball game and Kevin Hart's making dumb jokes. I like Kevin Hart. It did not fit last night. No. That was my only problem.
And the players even complained about it.
Yeah. I can't get over how tiny Kevin Hart is.
Well, he was standing next to Shaq, too. It didn't help.
I know, but he's
and
still
basketball
so
players.
Small. Like, how small? What is he, 5'2"? Like, he's incredibly tiny.
He's absolutely short. But and even Ernie Johnson's tall, though. But he was standing next to really tall people, but he is short.
Yeah. Kevin Hart's getting dangerously close to actors from The Sopranos territory. Like, you don't have to be at everything. We understand.
He is everywhere.
Yeah.
Sit one out.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.